Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.
So today is Pentecost Sunday, and most Christian churches don't, maybe not know, or don't talk much about it, and but it is significant. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about it today, because what happened on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts is significant to us and extremely important to us today. And so the word Pentecost means 50. And the Pentecost is not a Christian celebration about the Holy Spirit. It was a Jewish feast. And it was a celebration that they call it Shavuot, and it's the Feast of Weeks. And this festival was always 50 days after Passover. So Passover was the time that the Jewish people were set free from captivity, and Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, or was the time that they celebrated Moses receiving the word from the Lord on the mountain. So 7 weeks goes by from Passover to Pentecost. And so that then on the 50th day, Pentecost, they have a celebration. And so the day of Pentecost was a day that all the Jews would be coming together to celebrate what God had done and what their beliefs were in their life. And, you know, Christians around the world should be celebrating this day, because on that day, about 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts, that's the day that the church began. That's the day that God chose to establish and launch his church worldwide. You know, when Jesus said, upon this rock, the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, on that rock, I'm going to build my church, he said. And he said, the gates of hell won't prevail against my church. But in the day of Pentecost, that's the day he started the church. Also, it's the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on earth, unlike the Holy Spirit had ever been introduced to humanity. And it was the beginning of a whole new relationship with you and I and the Holy Spirit. And yet still today, many people don't celebrate the beginning of the church or celebrate the Holy Spirit. To many people, the Holy Spirit is like the stepbrother to the Holy Ghost, and we don't really know what either one of them are about. And but Jesus said to the disciples in the Gospel of John, he said, it's best for you that I go away. So that when I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit. He'll be your helper. He'll be your advocate. He'll be your comforter. He'll be your strength. And he'll be with each one of you. And then you'll be able to live like I live. You'll be able to live like I've commanded you to live. And so he leaves and the Holy Spirit comes. And so Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said, the coming of the Holy Spirit is crucial. I believe the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit is second only to the coming of Jesus when he came and was born and lived and died and rose again. And so it's a significant day, and I hope that you get more excited about it than you are right now. Amen. Okay, so today is the day of Pentecost, and we're celebrating that. And listen, here's the reason this is so important. The presence and power of God answers all questions and meets all needs. And you think about that person that you love so much and that you've tried to talk to and share the right story and prayed for, and you're just hoping that they would get it, and you're working hard and you're asking God to bless you. And I'm telling you what, the presence of God is worth 100 sermons. The presence of God is worth more than hours at Starbucks trying to explain it. And so we need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our churches and in our gatherings. We need to expect and experience the presence of God. Come on, give Him praise, everybody. Yeah. So instead, we think about the Holy Spirit. We're like, oh, I don't know about that, because I had this weird uncle who used to talk about Pentecostals or whatever, and we have this idea. And so we are limiting the person whom Jesus said was more important for us, that He be with us and upon us, than Him staying here. So what we're going to do is we're going to begin today a series, and we're going to go through the book of Acts. A lot of people love to have a Bible study, want to go through the Bible. That's where we're going. And we're not going to do verse by verse. We're going to do story by story. And we're going to let you read and encourage you. But for a few weeks, we're going to talk about the book of Acts. Acts is the acts of the Holy Spirit through the followers of Jesus, through His disciples, through His apostles. And it is the most relevant book of the Bible for us, because this is a model and an example of how we are to act in serving Jesus and taking His message around the world. And if you look at chapter 28, the very last verse, there's no amen. I mean, we ain't done yet. That means there's an Acts 2013, and here we are. And so I want you to believe big with me. Believe big about your life and about God. Believe, expect the unimaginable and expect God's best in your life. Believe God for the best He has for you. He can take it. He can take your audacity to say, oh, because of your grace, not because of me, because of your compassion, because of your mercy, you have big things for me and I'm available. So I want you to turn in your iPhone to Acts chapter 1. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. So the author of this book is the Holy Spirit, but the writer was Luke, the same person who wrote the Gospel of Luke. So Luke, in his former book, wrote about Jesus, and now he's writing about the experiences of the followers of Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And he said, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. I think that's interesting, because we focus a lot on teaching and preaching, but he said Jesus, He did, and then He taught. He would come, love people, forgive, heal the sick, and they're like, what was that all about? And he said, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about that. And so we put a lot more focus on learning and teaching than doing and experiencing. But until the day He was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen, after His suffering, He presented Himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So this is picking it up when Jesus had risen from the dead and spent time appearing and teaching and preparing the disciples. And he said, then on one occasion while He was eating with them, He gave this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus tells us that our God in heaven, our God, Father God, has a promise He made, and that He was going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus chose to use the picture, the example of John the Baptist, because He would take people of all kinds, and He would baptize them, put them under water. They would come up. They would be turning their life around. They would be free and saying, I'm following Jesus. Initially, it's I'm turning to God with John the Baptist. Then John's pointing to Jesus. I'm following Jesus. So he said, oh, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're going to be free. You're going to be washed. You're going to be clothed with power from on high. And so in verse 6 it says, then they gathered around Him and asked, Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Can you believe that question? Jesus goes, oh, any day, the promise that God has prepared for you, you're going to be clothed with the Holy Spirit. And they're like, do we get a lunch break today? It's like, tell us about that time. And so, and Jesus said in verse 7, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. He said, don't talk about that right now. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about something important here, the Holy Spirit. Imagine all the books that wouldn't have been written if people read Acts 1:7. That's just my little cynical comment. Lord, forgive me. Verse 8, but you will receive power. He's bringing them back to the point. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. That picture is an expanding area of influence until it goes around the world. And then after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Could you imagine? Boy, that would be a memory, wouldn't it? Jesus is standing there talking to you, and then he just starts going up. No special effects, no computer graphics, just going up. They're like, oh my God, they're staring. And then it says a cloud hid him from their sight. I used to think like a normal person, like a cloud, a rain cloud or something. But I wonder if it wasn't the glory of God, that Shekinah glory. Oh, because somebody's going to help me preach today. Thank you very much. And that presence, that Shekinah presence of God just surrounded him. And he went up. And so then it says angels came. It says that in verse 10, they were looking intently up into the sky, as you would, as he was going. And then suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So remember this, in case you want to know what Christians believe, we believe that Jesus came and he lived for us and he died for us and he rose again and he's coming back just like that. He's going to come back down to be with us on earth. Wow. And then when he comes down, we're going to do whatever his plan is. Amen. Okay. And so then what happens is that they start to get ready. You know, they want to prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit and being sent out in ministry. And so they start doing church stuff. So they go, well, you know, there's 12 disciples. We lost one, Judas, so let's replace him. As if Jesus said, I got to have 12. There always has to be 12. And so they said they drew lots. It was kind of a thing. And maybe God was eating it. You know, there's no evidence if they were just spending time on their own, because they pick a guy and we never hear from him again. So, you know, we can call who we think should be in ministry, but God always has a different plan. And so then it brings us to chapter 2 in Acts, where they're coming together and praying and waiting for this promise from the Father. And I want to encourage you today, be like these people who want all that God has for you. Yeah, don't hold back. Don't be hesitant. Don't be distracted. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. If you're going to worship him, worship him. If you're going to follow him, follow him. And so they were there praying. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So all the believers were in this room. And then it said, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit does unique and unusual things. And so be open to how God wants to do things and be available to him. Be flexible in your soul and in your spirit. And because what the Holy Spirit did was, first, he filled the room. He filled the house. And some of us need the Holy Spirit in our house. And then it said he filled the house, and then there was a wind. He filled the house, and then there was a sign that happened where something looked like there was fire on them, and so it looked kind of like a tongue or a flame or something, and it wasn't actually fire, but it looked like fire. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, throughout the book of Acts, you're going to see that when people get filled with the Spirit or empowered with the Holy Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit or all the different phrases they use, that people always did something with their mouth. They either spoke in tongues or prophesied or praised God or declared his word boldly with a new kind of boldness. So today, when you're praying, oh God, on Pentecost Sunday, fill me with the best you got, then be grateful, be thankful, give him praise, be willing to take on a boldness from heaven. Maybe he'll give you a language of prayer and worship. Maybe he'll give you a word from heaven. But at least give him thanks. At least give him praise for his Holy Spirit. And so then it says in verse 5, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them in their own language being spoken. And so now we see another dynamic. Not only are they speaking in tongues that people don't understand, but some of them are speaking in tongues that people understand what they're saying. So they're like, what's going on? It bewildered everybody. What's going on here? Because they said, aren't these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one hears them in our own native language? The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and a whole lot of other people. I know what it means, but we don't have time for that. I know how to say it. It says, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Are you willing to live a life that's amazed and perplexed? That has equal portions of astonishment, of gratitude, of glory, and like, I don't think I can explain that, but wow. Okay, I do. But then they said in verse 13, some, however, made fun of them and said they have too much wine. People always criticize or minimize what they don't understand or what they haven't experienced themselves. And so the first comment is, well, these guys are drunk. So that tells me that the people who are saying it didn't understand what was going on. And it also tells me that the people that they're looking at are wild or weird. And let me just be honest with you right here. People are weird. You know that? How many of you had to come here today to hear that? You know that. And we're all a little weird. I mean, you don't think you are, but, you know, we're a little bit. And so when the Holy Spirit does something to our lives, there are hurts. There are scars. There are issues and bondages. And when God's presence heals you, brings freedom, sometimes people freak out a little bit. People do unusual things. That's not necessarily the Holy Spirit. But what are you going to do? Tell people, don't be happy. Calm down over there. Don't do this. Don't do that. And yeah, you know, we want to be respectful and not draw attention to ourselves. But we do want to give God praise. One time years ago, this girl came to me who was had been serving in the church and very helpful. And she said, the Lord told me I needed to move. And he confirmed it through my cat. And I, being a nice person, said, oh. But inside, or when I hung up, when I left that conversation, I said to Holly, guess what she just said. If God's speaking to you through your cat, that's weird, all right? And you probably need to move. No, just kidding. No, but I'm just kidding. But if God's speaking to you through your cat, we have prayer right afterwards, right up here. and see Nicole. She has a special anointing for that. So, all right. So anyway, back to the Acts. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Because they're saying, what's going on? These people are drunk. What's happening? And he goes, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk. As you suppose, it's only 9 in the morning. They were new Christians, you know. So now, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. This is it. He said, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants. You know, not the leaders, not the rich people, but the poor, the needy, on all kinds of people. He said, both men and women. Look, he said, men and women twice, in case it might take us 2,000 years to believe it. On my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And then, skipping on down in verse 22, he says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. I believe that God wants to do signs and wonders through you. Your sons and daughters, men and women, servants, poor, broken, rich, he wants to give a credit to who he is through us by the Holy Spirit, so that people will be turned to God. And then he says, in verse 23, the man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan, and with the help of wicked men, he put him to death, nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Don't you love that? It's impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus. That's why we serve him. And so in verse 37, he's explaining this. I'm skipping on down. And the people, they were cut to the heart. The Holy Spirit did something. God's presence was so strong, they were cut to the heart. And, you know, it's like those hard cases you know who would never believe. You know, the one that you just think about that person that you would never, you've been invited so many times, they never want to come to church, but you just coaxed them and bugged them and offered them free dinner or something, and you get them to church, and they walk in, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just strikes their heart. That word there where it talks about what the Holy Spirit cut to the heart, it's a blast to the soul. And they said, oh, Jesus, what do we do? What do we do? And so Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So first of all, the message we have today is that I invite every one of you who've never put your faith in Jesus as your Savior, as the Lord and leader of your life, you can do that today. You have to turn from your ways and turn to him. And then follow, be baptized in his name. And it says, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, this empowering, this baptism from on high. And it says, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I love this. It says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all who will call on the name of the Lord. That's us. That's us. We're afar off from back then. And the Holy Spirit is still touching people's lives, still doing the miraculous, still looking for people who hunger and thirst after him. Is anybody in here desperate for God? Anybody in here hungry for all that God has for you? That moves the heart of God. I've never seen the Bible tell a story where people were not so interested in God and had a few questions and God just came and filled them up. It's the ones who are saying, God, I need you. I want you. Nothing else is more important. And whether you're desperate because of pain or broken because of loss, or like Zacchaeus, rich and successful and still as empty as you were when you were in junior high and going, oh, I need something in my life. It's Jesus. That's what moves God. And so it says, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Does it feel like I'm pleading with you a little bit? Yeah, it is. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to that number that day. Now, what I told you about the feast, Shavuot, is about first fruits too. So this was a time when all of Israel would come on the day of Pentecost to bring the first fruits of their crops and of their herds and sacrifice to say, all that we've taken in, we're taking that first portion and giving it to you, God. And so on the day of Pentecost, the first 3,000 people who were the new members of the church, the new believers in Jesus, that's the day that the first fruit came, was on Pentecost. And so there was a purpose in the heart of God as to why he did that. And so 2,000 years later, here we are. And it's still God's desire to pour out his Holy Spirit. The church is spread around the world, showing signs of a growing crescendo of the Holy Spirit, leading us to a day when the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. And you might think, well, there things are tough around here. Things are bad. Gross darkness is around the earth. And I say, yeah, the Bible tells us that when sin abounds, grace much more abounds. But grace, God's Spirit is looking for somebody who will say, here I am. Use me. Use me. And so it's important that we look and see the things that God has done. I was reading Psalm 77 this morning. And it said in verse 11, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among peoples with your mighty arm. You redeemed your people. And so we think back, we remember about the miracles and the blessings of God, not so we can go, wow, those were the days, but because by the Holy Spirit, we begin to have eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart that's desperate and hungry. And we say, oh, that's the God I serve. He loves people more even now. And he wants to do that outpouring, that empowering in our world. And I want him to start with me. About 100 years ago, 1906, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There have been many times throughout history at great awakenings and Welsh revival and various things in our history that God has breathed and poured out his Spirit to intensify his work. And in 1906, right here at Azusa Street in LA, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that has gone around the world. And historians say that over 600 million Christians can be traced to what started in a little Bible study with a handful of people on Bonnie Bray Street. And the Holy Spirit began to move and people were being touched. And all of a sudden, can you imagine a connect group like that where the Holy Spirit falls and all of a sudden people are coming from everywhere? You don't even know how they heard. They're coming on the front yard. They're filling it up. They can't fit in the house. William Seymour, the leader, the pastor, he's standing on the porch, and people are up on the porch, and he's preaching, and the porch collapses. There's so many people. And this is just after like 4 days. And so they find this old abandoned warehouse, and it used to be a stable, so there's still the wonderful smell and aroma of horses, for those of you who love horses. But the rest of you, you know what I'm talking about. And so they come and clean the place out, and they put little 12-foot planks and sit and put them on little stools, and the place is half the size of this, and the Holy Spirit was moving so strong that sometimes 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 people. So this room sits about 600, and so that place was half the size of this room. And they're crowding, trying to get in, looking on the outside. And this goes on day after day for 1906 to around 1915. But it's all around the world. And during that time, William Seymour, as well as other leaders in different places of the country, said, God showed me that in about 100 years that there's going to be another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's not going to be just in Los Angeles. It's going to start in various cities around the world. And so that's about 100 years ago. And so it didn't happen in 2006 necessarily, but it ain't 2015 yet. And I don't know if it's God's plan to use me, but I don't want them to pass me by because I'm not available. And so for the last year, God's been doing something in my heart where I've been increasing in my pursuit of him, the awareness of what I don't have and who I am not, and my pursuit of, oh God, fill me with your spirit, change my desires, change my attitudes, reveal pride, reveal any idols in my life. And Lord, don't look past Oasis. If you're going to do something here in the city, we want you to know we're here. And so, man, on Azusa Street, crazy stuff. People were coming to Christ. God's power and presence was there. And it was just an unusual situation. We're not trying to say let's do what they did, but yesterday we had a prayer and worship gathering at 10 o'clock, two doors down from that location, just in honor, just like we read in Psalms, remember the former things. So we just gathered and prayed and worshiped, and to be honest, I didn't even know the next day was Pentecost till later in the afternoon. So I feel like God can use us whether we're smart or not. And so... So then we just worship God, and I just thought, Lord, do what you did there in people's hearts and lives with us, because I'm not smart enough to convince you to trust God. I don't have good enough stories to get you to honor him with your tithes and offerings. I don't have the charisma to stir your soul, to make you feel like you have faith. We need God's presence. So that he'll speak to your life. He will do the signs and wonders. He will open eyes in our life. Because he's the one who answers our prayer. Many times they said, I've read and studied about Azusa Street. And for the first couple of years they'd have phone calls. Or I don't know whatever you had back then. But they would contact the fire department and say, there's flames coming out of that building over there with all those people on Azusa Street. And so the fire department would come out there. And it wasn't flames. It was a glory of God. It was just light coming out of the building. And it happened over and over. And then sometimes there would be this cloud that I spoke to you about. This what we read about in the Old Testament is like the Shekinah glory. It's where the priest would go into that holy place and there was a tangible presence of God. And the people would give testimony and tell stories about it, that this glory would be like a mist or smoke. They said it can be explained, but it can't be understood unless you're in it, because it's not tangible, but you see it. And this one guy said, I would try to blow it like smoke. I would go, to see if I could blow it away, and it didn't. And the little children who'd give testimony of their experiences, you know, they didn't have children's ministry, so just everybody's all in there. And that kids would crawl around and play, and they would hide in this glory. Wild things were happening. And so, you know, you and I, someday when we get intense and passionate, we go, oh God, you know, do more above and beyond all I could ask or imagine. And so then you hear me talking like this and you're going, whoa, that's hard for me to handle. Well, you prayed for it, didn't you? I mean, don't you think that God is a little bigger than you and me and our understanding and our mind? So I'm just like, hey, whatever you want to do, Lord, you do it. And I'm going to follow. I'm going to trust you. And so the... William Seymour, he was such a humble man. He was a black minister at a time in our country when black people were radically disregarded and enslaved. And he went to Bible school and he had to sit outside the room and listen. And you know what? He didn't sit there and go, this is unfair. He went, oh, I'm taking notes. I want God. He wasn't thinking about what didn't happen, but he just was thinking about God. And it says when he came to Azusa, he was such a humble man. And so when he would start out the meetings, it wouldn't just be prayer and worship. And he'd get up, maybe he'd speak for a little bit, but then it would just be the Holy Spirit touching people and doing the miraculous. But he would start out putting his head in a shoebox. Now, not like a shoebox like you have in your closet or they have at the store, but it'd be more like a crate. And I've looked around. I've seen a couple of sketches, but I don't really know what they look like. But some of them were like this size, and some of them were twice the size. And they said that sometimes he would start out the meeting, and they would start out, and he'd put his head in the box, and he would start praying, "Oh God, I pray that you would bless the people, and we worship you." And so sometimes he'd be in there for 10 minutes, and sometimes he'd be in there for 20 or 30, and then... And everybody's just praying and doing their own thing. And he stands up and starts ministering. And the meetings went on. They were supposed to be two-hour meetings, but couldn't tell when one end and the other began. They had them all day long. And people didn't want to leave because the presence of God was there and people trying to get in. And so it said that sometimes he would kneel and put his head in the box. And then sometimes he would sit. You know, they had a little bench. And he would sit and put the shoebox on his head. Now, I don't know why. So, just by the way, I'm not recommending this or anything. Could you imagine if I started doing that? So, like, every time you bring somebody to church, go, "Okay, so Pastor Philip is a really good guy. And he just does this thing. It's a little weird, I know, but just put up with it because it's worth it right after." And so, I'm like, instead of me going, "Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. Hope you experience," I just go... I know this is going to be on Instagram. I know you. But so he would just humble himself, and God had chosen him to be a leader, to be a vessel. And there were healings. You know, the thing about healing is it's not a separate thing that, oh, isn't that kind of nice? It's so intimately connected to salvation. It's like God... loves us so much, our heart, soul, and body, that he provided for healing in the crucifixion just like he did for salvation. And that always when God's Spirit is moving in a powerful way, people are healed. It's people are set free, people find Jesus, people are healed. It just comes together. And so unusual miracles, and it's just the hard hearts overridden. And I'm going to ask the worship team and the band to come up because we're going to pray and worship God together for a minute. But I got to tell you this one story that you may never forget. I just read about this morning. But in the very beginning stages of this Azusa Street revival, and there were these miracles taking place that you'd think I was making them up if I told you, but I've been reading some of the stories, and there's a book of people who were from 5 years old to 15 years old during those times, and they got together and told their stories so it could all be documented of their experiences. So this one lady... who is a Christian, comes into church, and her ear is bleeding, and she's covering it with a rag, but it's bleeding. And what happened was that her husband committed adultery. And she found out, and she confronted the woman, and then the two women started fighting, and the woman who committed adultery with her husband bit her ear off. And so she's like, and so she's heartbroken, she's betrayed, she's overwhelmed, and she comes into church, and there's this woman there that had experienced and seen many miracles by William Seymour and other leaders and some of the children, and she was a woman who said, "I'm going to believe God." And she said, "What's wrong?" And she pulled it off, and she said all she could see was just like some flesh hanging down, blood. And so she put her hand over her hand and started praying for her. And then the lady said, "Well, the pain went away," and she took the rag down, and there was a brand new ear. Wow. And so I'm telling you that because the Bible tells us, remember the miracles, talk about them, celebrate them, expand your, believe big, expect the unimaginable, because God's grace is more than you can comprehend. God's love for you is huge. And I don't know what you're going through today. Maybe you're here and you're going through a broken marriage. Maybe you're in some kind of addiction that you tried to quit over and over and over, and you go a month, you go 2 weeks, you go 2 months, and you're back in it, and it feels worse. And maybe you're hurting and you have been diagnosed with some kind of disease, or you've been in a terrible accident. I don't know what the crises are in your life, but I'll tell you something. Nothing is too small and nothing is too big for the love of God. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He is in this place right now. Father in heaven, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that your Spirit would be poured out in this place. And I pray, oh God, that you would continue and increase the generous outpouring of your Spirit in your people. I pray, oh God, let it begin with us. Let it begin with me today. Let each one of you just declare that to God. And so we say, Lord, we turn from our ways. And I pray if we've had any arrogance about our church and experience or superiority in our faith and supposed wisdom and insight about the Holy Spirit, oh God, we lay it aside because we want all of you. I pray, Lord, that every idol, every dream in our life that we're pursuing that's greater than pleasing God, we lay it aside right now. And I pray for anybody here who's never put your faith in Jesus Christ, today's the day. And I want you to know it's a manly thing to commit your life to Jesus and to be a man of God. It's a divine thing for men and women, young and old, to be serving Jesus with all their heart. And all you need to do is say, Jesus, I'm putting my trust in you. All you need to do is say, God, thank you for Jesus. I'm putting my faith in him. I need your forgiveness. I need you to heal my heart and fill my life. Oh, he hears that prayer. He hears that cry. I pray that every believer, every person in this place would be one of those who calls out to God in this moment. Oh, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Fill me with your Spirit. Baptize me in your Spirit, Lord, that I could be a witness for you. That I could tell of your love. That I could bring your kingdom to others around us. There's nothing that I've done. There's nothing that we've done, oh God, that deserves your abundant blessing in our life. But we don't come in our own merit. We come in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. I want to ask you to bring the house lights down a little bit. And I'm going to have us worship God. And I want to invite you to worship God with all your heart. You know, the Bible says that he's looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Imagine if the King of Kings, imagine if this roof were just parted and we could see the throne of God. And the King of Kings standing there. And he looks at us. He looks at Oasis and goes, look at those people are worshiping me. Those people get it. They love me with all their hearts. Hey, angels, look over here at Oasis. These people are loving God with all their heart. Would you stand with me and let's worship God like there's no better time than right now.
Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church Podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.